I want to join in with Mac in expressing our appreciation to all those who are with us this morning, those may be visiting. It's good to see each one out this morning. I know that I was in a little bit of a quandary, really, about what to preach this morning. I know, you know, the calendar talks about Easter, and I was thinking about that, and I was looking forward to the idea of the spring and about the flowery colors, things like that. Normally, we wear an Easter. And then I was looking at the weather forecast on Friday. And so I'm with you, those who wore the spring colors and flower dresses and whatever. I have a nice, colorful shirt and a spring tie out in the truck. We left for Louisville Friday, and it's a nice, warm day. We looked at the weather forecast, and I thought, well, I'll bring it. I'm hoping the weather man is wrong. However, he was right. So I'm with you in spirit, not dressed. But then also I was looking at the calendar, and I realized that this is April 1st. And so I kind of tried to thread the needle here. The article in the bulletin is more about the idea of the resurrection of Christ and that line. But I want to talk a little bit more this morning about the idea, really not of April Fools. That's a little bit of a misnomer of a title. But I got to think about this from a point of view of, where did we get April Fools? How did this come about? So I started to look this up a little bit, and what I found out is that the history of it is in 1582, Pope Gregory, and one thing we often assume is that things as they are now have always been that way. And I think a lot of times we think that as far as how we keep track of time and our calendars. But actually, a lot of the world has different calendars. Even today, we start looking at maybe like the Chinese calendar. I know it's different in ours. I don't know when their new year is, but I know it's different in ours. And we know, look in the Bible, that you have the Jewish calendar, and there the first day or the first of the year began basically sometime either late March or early April, depending on which year it was. It changed from year to year. Well, Pope Gregory decided to try to correct some of the errors that had been made in earlier calendars, earlier way of counting time, and also tried to get all the world on one standard, where everybody would understand this is the first day of the year. Because up to that time, it had not been that way. And so we had the Gregorian calendar, what came out in this process. However, one of the changes that we again often assume is that everybody recognized the same beginning of the year. And that wasn't true. The Gregorian calendar, and this was not true of everybody, but some people's calendar, the beginning of the year started actually around April the 1st. In fact, I was looking here on Google this morning. I kind of Googled this in a little bit. And here it mentions to us, or to me, since I'm reading this, it says that this instituted, and basically in the 1850s or 1750s, but he said that up until then, England and the American colonies had celebrated the New Year on March 25th. And so they were kind of some of the late newcomers to this idea, but those who refused or those who did not know about this change, they became known as simply April Fools. That's how the phrase came to be, that they had not recognized or not accepted the new calendar. Now again, we may think, how could they not know it happened? How would they not recognize it? Again, just keep in mind, we live in today the technology age and the information age, and so we know things almost instantaneously. But back then, it took a long time for word of mouth to travel and for changes to actually be instituted and things such as calendars. So that's how we got this idea of April Fools. That's where it came from. And so, and this was in France primarily where it started to be used, and it caught on, obviously, the rest of the world did also. And of course, today we sometimes talk about it, time to play some practical jokes, or maybe try to fool people occasionally, and people have different April Fool's stories they have. And many times, again, they're lighthearted. Sometimes, though, they can be serious. Sometimes bad results can occur because of it. You may recall, if you ever done much of a study of the radio program A.C. Wells, where he talked about the War of the Worlds. And this was back, I believe, about the 1930 sometimes, but they had this radio program where we were invaded by aliens from Mars or some other planet. And they did it as a news program, cut into regular programming, and people that night really thought that aliens had invaded this planet and was going to take over. And there were people that were ready to kill their loved ones because they did not want that they're going to be tortured by these aliens. And they had to actually stop the program before it ended and tell everybody, now this is a hoax. This is our April Fool's joke, is what they'd tell people. And so sometimes they can have sure results. And so you look at this here, the serious business of being foolish is something we're going to talk about this morning. When I talk about being foolish, we can define it as, I see here, that I'd be a gullible. And maybe the person that says, you know, or somebody comes to us and says, would you like to buy the Brooklyn Bridge? And we think, well, nobody would believe that. Well, apparently, you know, one time or another, somebody did. That's how that kind of caught on, that phrase there. So maybe being gullible, being naive, that may be the person that says, it's on the internet, and therefore it must be true. You know, I accept whatever's on the internet. It'd be a naive person. And also, just simply not brighten the noggin or a simpleton, maybe other ways of saying this. We may also point out, when the Bible uses the word foolish, it really refers not so much as to the intellect of the person, but refers to them morally speaking. It refers to them being foolish in the eyes of God. And so, being foolish can have dire consequences, both in this world here, but also in the world to come. And so we want to look at some things the Bible talks about foolish people do, so that we won't be involved in these things primarily. But first of all, we would say a foolish person or foolish people, first of all, do not recognize the existence of God. If you look over in Psalms 14 verse 1, it says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. Now again, that is not, it's not used as a term in a sense that this person is not with any intellect, but it's talking about morally speaking. This person just looks around and says, you know, I just don't believe in God. I don't accept God. And the atheist would be that kind of person that says, you find me some kind of evidence of God. You can find me where God exists. And to be an atheist, first of all, you have to reject the whole idea of a desire of the universe. You have to believe that everything we see around us, all the plants, all the animal life, everything that exists, our human bodies, and how it functions. You have to accept the idea that this all came about without any intelligence involved at all. And he simply said, you know, just think about how logical that really sounds. In fact, when you look over in Romans first chapter, we had read for us, and there Paul just points out that they had seen the invisible attributes of God just by looking at the universe around us. Look at nature around us and you see the idea that something had to create this. Again, intelligent design had to make all this. But it goes on down, in fact, that he said that since the creation of the world as the invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by things that are made, even as the eternal power of God says, so that they are without excuse. And then he goes on and says that professing to be wise, they became fools. And the person that says, I reject God, must accept certain things, and must again reject certain things. And one is, they have to say, well, everything just happened. But the Hebrew writer, Hebrews 3 verse 4, says, for every house built by someone, but he who built all things is God. Again, doesn't that really make sense in a sense that you go out and you find maybe a house out in the wilderness someplace or out in an isolated area, and I did not see the person build it. I just, the house is there. I don't know necessarily how long it's been there, but I see that it has front door, has windows, it has inside, has roof on it, and I recognize somebody had to build that house. It just didn't create itself. And he said, just also use that same logic about the universe around us. And that is, who created the worlds we see? Who created the planets and stars and life as we have it? And he said, God is one that built everything. God is one that built the creation around us. But again, a lot of times the person says, I don't believe in God. I cannot accept God. that person, first of all, is saying they believe in the illogical, but also that they claim that they know everything then. That they have to say, I know everything because any information I don't know may be the very proof that God exists. And so he said, that's the fool. In Hebrews 11 verse 3, he said, by faith we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God, so the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. God's not physical in nature. That's one of the problems that people that talk about science have in applying the laws of physics and laws of nature to God, is that those things apply to physical things, but not spiritual things. But he said again that we look around, we see the world around us, and recognize that God made everything. So by faith we understand worlds framed by God. And then also, again, the atheist has to believe, they have to claim to have all knowledge. But finally, they also, maybe the fool isn't the person says, I don't believe God exists. But also the person says, I believe God exists, but you know what? I don't recognize his law. I understand there is a creator. I understand the worlds were framed by a great power that he made us. But when it comes to actually studying my Bible, when it comes to actually applying the Bible in my life and doing what the Bible says, and that person says, I don't believe that. I don't do that. Well, isn't that also a foolish person? Well, also, that also describes the person that says, I'm not going to go by the law of God. He may have made me, but I'm not going to go by the law of God. Again, the Bible says that's a fool. A fool says there is no God. Does not go by God's law. But also we look and we think of foolish people. Now the wise person believes in God and in his law. Does both. But then also we look and understand that foolish people do not listen to others. Have you ever known people like that? That they just seem to already, they think they already know everything, and they just have a problem of really stopping and listening to other people that may be able to give them some good information. And the Proverbs, in Proverbs 12, verse 15, says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. And this Proverbs often writes as a contrast. And they ask, okay, the wise person heeds counsel, the foolish person doesn't need it. They already think they have all the answers. They don't really want to hear other things. And again, we have various examples of that in the Bible. In Proverbs 18, verse 2, it goes along with this. It says, a fool has no delight in understanding, but in expressing his own heart. Well, a lot of times foolish people are very vocal about what they believe. May not have any idea of what they're talking about, but they're pretty good about expressing it. They can tell you exactly what they believe. And we look in the Bible, we find various people that fall in this category. In the Old Testament, I can think of a good example of that is Rehoboam, son of David. When David passes away, excuse me, son of Solomon. When Solomon passes away, grandson of David. But when Solomon passes away, Rehoboam had a choice to make. How was he going to rule the kingdom of God? And so he went to ask the older, wiser men of Israel, and then also the younger men of Israel. And the younger men of Israel said, basically, you rule with an iron hand. You just show the people who's boss, and you tell them that they were complaining about how hard life was under your father Solomon, that you haven't seen anything yet, that you'll make things harder on them. But then the older men, the wiser men, said, you be kind to the people. You listen to them, and you show them compassion, and you show them mercy. And Rehoboam had that choice to make. Now, it doesn't take a genius to figure out. If you're trying to get the people on your side, which side is actually going to be the best course of action? Which one's going to be the best thing to do? But Rehoboam didn't listen to wise counsel. And there's a lot of people, you know, like that. They just won't listen to wise counsel. Now, older women are told to instruct younger women. If you look over at Titus, the second chapter, And there it points out to us as far as younger women and older women. And Titus, second chapter, I didn't put this on your outline, but if you look around verse 3 there, it's there are women likewise, they be reverent behavior, not slanders, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, to chaste homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blessing. Those are very practical things he's saying. Now, Titus, notice here, he doesn't say, Titus, you teach the young women to do these things. He said, Titus, you have the older women to teach the younger women. But I dare to say that if you go and ask a lot of times the older women, what's the problem with this instruction here? What's the problem of doing what's said here in Titus 2nd chapter? A lot of times the older women say the problem is getting younger women to listen. Now, a lot of times young women don't want to listen to the advice of the older lady, the mother that has already, the woman's already reared her children, the woman that's already seen her family grow up and all the knowledge she has. Now, a lot of times maybe the younger woman doesn't want to listen to that. And same thing about older men and younger women. Sometimes the younger men, again, think, I know more than these older guys. They really can't relate to what I'm going through today. And so they're not listening a lot of times. But he said, now that's what foolish people do, is that is, they do not listen. And as you look at it, the one thing you realize, I think all of us realize, is you cannot make anybody listen. I know from preaching sometimes, giving lesson, I'm wishing that people will pay attention and take heed to the words that are said, not because they come from me, but because that's what the Bible says. And yet there's times, as soon as you get through the lesson, you know that people have already disregarded. You can't make people listen. Over in Proverbs 1, verse 7, the last part said, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So that's what the foolish person does. Now, on the other hand here, the wise person listens to others, and if needed, not always their own agree with what's said. There may be cases where people give you advice and tell you what you need to hear, but you may not think that's really good advice, and you don't have to make up your mind about that. But if there's times you listen and you think, okay, I may need to change. I may need to listen to what they're saying. There is some wisdom in there. And so listen to them. And Jeremiah 10 verse 23 says, Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself, and it's not a man who walks to direct his own steps. There's times we all need to listen. There's times we all need to ask for directions, advice in life. A number of years ago, it kind of made the national news. There was a police officer pulled over this car, swerving back and forth, driving erratically. It turned out it was an older couple. And in talking to the woman, it was obviously the guy that was driving, the man was driving, an older couple, and she was upset because they had left the day before to travel about 100 miles, but he could not figure out how to get there. And so he refused to stop and ask for directions. And so they had spent over a day on the road traveling, trying to find where they were going. And, you know, there are people in life that way. I've known various people in life that are just that away. And more serious things than just traveling a 100-mile journey. But they refuse to listen about things they need to hear. So the wise person listens and understands. There's times they need direction. But also, a foolish person lacks self-discipline. And in fact, there may be one of those areas today that you stop thinking about it, that our nation as a whole, and I know I'm painting a very broad brushstrokes right here, so don't take it personal. But our nation as a whole lacks a lot of this self-discipline. That people think, whatever I want, I can do. Whatever I think I deserve, I get. And therefore, they just go out there without any thought about maybe the results and the consequences of actions. Well, that's a foolish person. And Proverbs 14, verse 16, it says, a wise man fears and departs from evil, but full of rage and is self-confident. A quick-tempered man acts foolishly, and a man of wicked intentions is hated. Notice that part there, that the full of rage is self-confident, and a hot-tempered man, a quick-tempered man acts foolishly. That may be all kinds of different areas this could apply to. We could apply it to areas of temperament. Not everybody is as calm and mild-mannered as I am. I realize that. You know, some people have a temper, I've been told. And I don't ask Regina about any of this, okay? But there have been people that I've got to know very well, and I look at them as being really calm, level-headed, just seems like nothing ever bothers them. And then they'll say something along the lines of, you know, I really have to work on my temper. And I think, what? I mean, it seems like you have it all under control. And they said, no, I really do have temper. I work at it. And I realize they're right. That they often, the person you think is very mild, you think, well, they don't have a problem with that. I mean, that's just second nature to them. They just, nothing ever bothers them. A lot of times, that's not true. they have really worked at it. They have shown self-restraint. And so whenever you feel as if you are angry, just like lashing out, remember, that's what a foolish person does. A wise person realizes just because you're angry doesn't give you the right to do whatever you want to. And we can actually apply this to other areas of life. And over in Ephesians 4, 26 says, be angry and do not sin. But again, we can apply this to other areas of life. We can apply this to the idea of laziness. Maybe once areas where a person just doesn't want to do things, doesn't want to take care of their family. Well, again, that's just simply what a foolish person does. But on the other hand, a wise person learns to control themselves. And that they realize that this idea of self-discipline is very important as far as being Christian. In 1 Corinthians 9, 27, Paul said, by discipline my body and bring to subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself become disqualified. I don't know what kind of person Paul was as far as his own temperament. You read through the Bible, you read Paul's writings, and you kind of get this idea that Paul may have been kind of like a mixture of John Wayne and the Incredible Hulk. I don't know. But I do know what Paul says. He says, I've got to practice what I preach. I got to do exactly the same things I tell you folks to do. I have my own demons to fight. I have my own problems in life. And I have to bring my body into subjection. And Paul had to do it, so did we. But then also, we think about this, that foolish people a lot of times that specifically reject the Father's instruction. And it's more along the lines of foolish children, but you look through the Bible and it points out the importance of listening to one's parents. Over in Proverbs 15, verse 5, it says, a fool despises his father's instruction, but he receives correction as prudent. Now again, sometimes we see young children, young people, that when mom and dad try to give them words of instruction, try to correct them, that maybe sometimes a problem with the parents way too late, maybe sometimes it's with the nature of the child. I do know that as we grow older, the phrase what Mark Twain said about his dad, that when he was a teenager, they looked at his dad and he thought his dad was an idiot. Just didn't think his dad had any knowledge at all. But then when he got to be about 25, 30, he thought his dad had gotten a lot smarter. Well, a lot of times, that is the way we are as young people. That we think, mom, dad, they don't realize the things I'm going through. They don't understand the problems we face today. They didn't grow up in the new technology age. And that's true. They didn't grow up with those things. But the thing about living life is that the principles always stay the same. They don't change. It doesn't matter if you have a computer or not. And so the Bible points out to us that simply a foolish son is grief to his father and bitterness to her who bore him. That bad things don't happen to you if you don't listen to your parents. But then on the other hand, a wise person accepts their father's instruction. Again, you may not always understand. I know my dad and my mom, they taught us certain lessons. At the time, I didn't understand why we couldn't do certain things. I didn't understand always why he couldn't get out of the yard as a young child until the neighbor boy that lived right next to us got out in the yard, got hit by a car and was killed. I didn't understand why my parents didn't let me go places while I was growing up until bad things happened when people went those places. And so it is with life as we grow up. We listen to them, we will avoid a lot of the problems of life. But then also, a wise person learn from the mistakes of others. But a foolish person doesn't. A foolish person simply makes mistakes and just thinks, I don't know why that happened. I don't understand why that keeps on happening to me. Over in Proverbs 26, verse 11, this is a proverb that's talked about. Part of this is talked about over in 2 Peter. And Peter applies this in the spiritual idea of the person that's a Christian. And he goes back into the world. And that is, as a dog returns his own vomit, so a fool repeats his folly. And that's how Peter applies it. But he realized that what he's talking about here, what Proverbs is talking about, what really Peter's talking about, is that some people will do the same thing over and over again, and you wonder why they do that, and they see how disgusting it can be. All of us have seen a dog maybe eat something it shouldn't have, or eat too much, or any son that is sour, or son that's bitter, son that's just bad, and goes out and gets sick and throws it up, and then in a little while, if you don't take the dog away from it, it'll go right back and eat it up again. And that is a disgusting picture. It's a bad picture. But he's applying this in the idea of spiritually, there are people who will do things and expect somehow there's going to be different results when they keep on doing the same thing over and over again. And this goes back to the definition of sanity, somebody said. And sanity is doing the same thing over and over again while expecting different results. Again, we can think about this. We have to realize, okay, if the law of cause and effect applies in the physical universe, and that is, if I do something that's silly, wrong, I get hurt, then if I do the same thing the next time, I can expect it to happen. Let me tell you a true story. I don't tell myself. And this kind of, hopefully I've learned since that time. I was a young child. But my brother had a pump BB gun. And I was allowed to play with it. And it's pump BB gun. You pump it and, of course, shoot it. But one day I got to think about, well, what happens if you just halfway pump it and leave like that and then you pull the trigger? Well, I decided, you know what? I'm going to find out. And so I put my hand in there, and then I pulled the trigger, and what I found out was that pump action, that it actually straightens back out. Unfortunately, my hand was right there. And so I smashed my hand, and literally had a bloody hand. Now, most people think, now surely any intelligent person would learn not to do that again. Okay. This goes back to what some people said, before you're like 10 years of age, you're brain damaged. Well, I decided to try it again with the other hand. Guess what happened? Yeah. I remember my mom looked at me just saying, how could you? And I realized she had a point there. But that did teach me a very valuable lesson. And that is, if it does the first time, it's going to do it the second time. And the third time, just simply doing the same thing over and over again, you're not going to get different results. And that is the reason why sometimes you have, again, people that keep on making the same mistakes. The law of cause and effects happens. And Numbers 32, verse 23 says, be sure your sins will find you out. And so you look at people, for instance, that may have problems with drugs or alcohol, or gamblers, and these people will go, and they'll go through rehab, they'll go through the process of getting out of the thumb of the drug, and what they do, they go back to the same people they hung around with. They go back to the same areas. They go back to the same beer joint. They go back to the same establishments they had been at before, and what they're hoping is this time it'll be different. No, it's not. It's going to be the same results again. You reap what you sow. But then, on the other hand, wise people change their behavior. I will say I've never done that again. Okay, that was the only time. Two times, that was enough. But sometimes we have to just learn not to do those things because bad things happen when we do them. Then also, we can say that foolish people do not watch what they say. People sometimes just don't have filter. They say things, and we may even admire people like that. We may think, isn't it great to be able to have that ability to say what you're in your mind and tell people exactly what you think? And there may be times that it can be good. But we have to realize that is not always the situation. That wise people, foolish people may say things, and the Bible warns us about the use of the tongue in many different passages. And Ecclesiastes 10 verse 12 says, the words of wise men's mouth are gracious, but the lips of fools shall swallow him up. And other passages you read about talks about the idea of gossip and the idea of tailbearing, the idea of lying, and just use the Lord's name in vain. In Proverbs 15 verse 2, it says, the tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly, but the mouth of fools pull forth foolishness. And what he's saying to us is, you be careful about what you say. Realize that words have meanings and they have results in life. I think one of those situations in the New Testament, Jesus was performing miracles, cast out demons. They couldn't dispute what Jesus was doing. They understood that Jesus was indeed cast out demons.
But they started saying, well, he's done so by the power of Beelzebub. Well, Matthew 12, verse 33, Jesus' response says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks.
Now notice here, what I say, that actually comes from my heart. I may not be able to judge your heart by just looking at you, but I can judge by what you're saying. It reveals something about you, your very character.
So he said, out of a good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good things. And evil men, out of the evil treasure, bring forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of in the day of judgment. For by your words you'll be justified, by your words you will be condemned. Think about that. Meditate on, realize that everything you say, God hears, and you'll be judged by it. Take your words seriously. Think about what you're saying. Make sure you're saying things that, again, are right.
Because today we hear people using profanity all the time, they use the name of God all the time, gospel, lying, and these things, sometimes they're even bragging about it. Well, it says, that's foolish person. The wise do not say everything they know.
The proverb here, Proverbs 17, verse 28, even a foolish count it wise when he holds his peace. When he shuts his mouth, he is considered perceptive.
At times you look at somebody and may think, well, that's a deep thinker. Maybe, maybe not. You just don't know, do you? But a lot of times that is a deep thinker. That's a person showing wisdom. Don't say everything you know. Think about things.
And finally, we can point out that a foolish person does not prepare for eternity.
Jesus gave us a parable. In Luke, the 12th chapter, he was teaching, and a man cried out and said, tell my brother to divide inheritance with me. And Jesus says, basically, that life does not consist in abundance of things one possesses. Luke 12, verse 15. And then he goes and tells us the parable of what's often called the foolish farmer. I call it that. About a farmer that has abundance of crops and tear down some barns, build bigger barns. And the thing is, he doesn't think about God. So, Luke 12, verse 20, they said, but God said to him, fool, let not your soul be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? Now, that is an interesting question, isn't it? All the things you have, who's going to receive the benefit of those things? So it goes on and says, so as he lays a treasure for himself, is not rich towards God. He had not considered God in his life. I may think, why is that man foolish? After all, he's far thinking, as far as physically, he's productive. But he's foolish because he didn't consider the fact he's going to die. Now, think about us, we recognize that. That life keeps on going on, the world keeps on turning, eventually all of us will one day not be here unless Jesus comes back first. But we know this is going to happen. And not only that, but also we know we're going to be judged. And that is that we're going to face God in judgment. The Bible tells that. And also we know what's at stake. Eternity, where we're going to spend eternity, is at stake. The foolish person doesn't think about these things. The wise person does. And so, as you think about this, it said, the wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the legacy of fools. So this morning, which one describes you? Again, I give these things as a way to warn us and say, I don't do those things. I'm trying to be a wise person. And I hope this morning that you would look at these things and say, I'm doing okay. I'm being wise in my life. But if you're not, if you are neglecting one of these areas or doing something wrong, we implore you to change your life, to obey the gospel of Christ if you have not done so, to confess Jesus, Son of God, be baptized for remission of your sins, and then live the Christian life. Christians are not perfect, but they are trying to be right in the sight of God by living according to the word of God. And so this morning, if you need to respond in any way, why don't you let us know as we stand and sing.